The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
So, Bobby, please say a few words. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And these institutions, these regulatory agencies, are actually run by the big food processing companies, the big ag and the chemical companies that they're supposed to regulate. And one of the issues that he talked about was having safe food and ending the chronic disease epidemic. Our children are now the unhealthiest, sickest children in the world. Don't you want healthy children? And don't you want the chemicals out of our food? And don't you want the regulatory agencies to be free from corporate corruption? And that's what President Trump told me that he wanted. Don't you want a safe environment for your children? Don't you want to know that the food that you're feeding them is not filled with chemicals that are going to give them cancer and chronic disease? And don't you want a president that's going to make America healthy again?
And I think if my dad were alive today, the real Robert Kennedy would have detested almost everything Donald Trump represents: his lying, his selfishness, his rage, his cynicism, hatred, racism, fascist sympathies, deliberate misinformation about vaccines, criminal felony convictions. Daddy was the Attorney General of the United States. His rape of E. Jean Carroll, his contempt for the poor and suffering, for ethics, democracy, healing, his cruel sneering at human rights, for suffering of people in America and around the world. And these are the causes that was loved so passionately by the real Robert Kennedy. So I'm outraged and disgusted by my brother's gaudy and obscene embrace of Donald Trump. I completely dip out and separate and dissociate myself from Robert Kennedy Jr. in this flagrant and inexplicable effort to desecrate and trample and set fire to my father's memory.
But look, there's an easy way to tell who's in political office for the right reasons or not. Look at who's taking the hits and look at who's just trying to get rich and want power. The Democrat Party, they're only in public service for themselves, not for the public. I mean, you look at the Obamas, increased their net worth by tens of millions of dollars after leaving the office. Joe Biden and his family leveraging various offices to get rich. Donald Trump is a billionaire. He didn't need this in 2016. He ran because he's a patriot, because he cared about the forgotten men and women. And what does he face as a result? Assassination, potential jail, investigations. RFK Jr. is a Kennedy. He could just coast off his last name. He's rich. He didn't need to spend his life trying to look into vaccines and public health and bring it all to the forefront. Elon Musk, same story. He didn't need to buy X and to be a free speech advocate. He's faced investigations as a result. So look at who's taking the hits for the greater good, for the greater good of the country. And then look at who's just wants power and is trying to get rich. It's pretty obvious.
Lots to unpack there. For one, MAGA is ascendant. I mean, the rumors were true last Thursday and early Friday that RFK was going to step out of the race or bow out of the swing states, at least, and then throw his support behind Donald Trump, of all people. I mean, it wasn't that long ago when you couldn't even really go out in public with any MAGA attire without fear of getting punched or yelled at. But look at who's being exposed as the real corrupt actors, as she brings out there. I mean, the ones that actually want to help their country, they're taking hits all over the place. The other one, never mind what Michelle Obama said in her speech last week, how that her parents, remember, they were suspicious of anyone that had more than they needed, says the woman who has, what, 4 or 5 mansions now? They're being exposed as they're just lining their pockets. They're benefiting financially from government. They go into government and they make a killing. It's becoming pretty clear who's on that side and who's on the side of actually making some sacrifices for the good of the country. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this show at trumpetdaily.com. Also at the Rumble channel, rumble.com/trumpetdaily. The email address, if you'd like to submit some feedback. We will get to some viewer feedback eventually. We've had some pretty packed programs of late. But the email address, td@thetrumpet.com. You know, I was making the point this morning in class, just suffering persecution for righteousness' sake. I don't want to take this too far again, because there's not much righteousness to go around on either side of the political aisle. But with respect to the Apostle Paul, just to use his example, you know, he's there in Philippi. He cast this demon out of the girl that was following him around and just was a nuisance, basically. He finally got rid of the demon, and then the girl's slave master was upset because he lost a stream of income. He was in it for the money. And Paul was doing that little girl a service. But anyway, the authorities in Philippi, they didn't like it. The guy came forward with all these false charges. They wanted Paul and Silas to be thrown in prison. And they actually were. They were scourged. They were beaten. And then they were locked in stocks in the inner dungeon. And in Acts 16, it says around about midnight that Paul and Silas started to sing and praise God. They were singing praises to God. What an attitude to have in the midst of a sore trial. This is an individual that had been stoned and left for dead in Iconium. Now he's in Philippi. He's just carrying on with God's work. And this is how they treat them in Philippi. Well, God heard those prayers and those songs of thanksgiving. And he miraculously opened the gates, the doors in that jail cell, that prison. And the jailer woke up, saw the doors all open, and he was about to kill himself because the Roman authorities would have killed him soon after for letting all the prisoners go. Paul says, hey, don't kill yourself. We're all still here. I mean, just the positive, hopeful disposition that Paul maintained. The jailer, including his family, ends up converting to the truth. And then Coney Bear writes this in his work about the Apostle Paul's life and teachings. He says that the whole town of Philippi, Paul later wrote a letter to the Philippian brethren. And this episode in the prison, it had a positive impact on the entire city. God had, God through Paul, he gave a lot of praise to the brethren at Philippi because they were so committed to the work and wholeheartedly into the operation of the church. And no doubt because of, how big of a news-making story would that have been for a relatively small town by today's standards, hearing about this incredible miracle? Well, for one, this kangaroo court that put Paul in prison, he was a Roman citizen, and he brought that up later on in the story. But anyway, the point that I made was that this trial, it turned out to be a great blessing and benefit to the jailer, his family, and yes, even a lot of people that came into the church from that city. So the persecution, the stoning of Stephen in Acts 7, that's another. I mean, that had a profound impact on the Apostle Paul when he was later converted to the truth. When Paul himself was stoned in Iconium, that was no doubt witnessed by Timothy, who would later come on board and be one of Paul's most faithful companions. I mean, you can tell a lot by a person who's willing to face persecution, who's willing to get knocked around. I mean, they have been going after Donald Trump from the beginning. And like that lady in the cold open brings out, I mean, he was a billionaire to begin with. He didn't need this. The Obamas went in there with very little, and now they're filthy rich. Same with the Clintons, same with the Bidens. Who's really serving their country? Who's really made sacrifices? Elon Musk didn't have to buy Twitter for $44 billion, really? A social media platform? Now, maybe he's generating a pretty good stream of revenue now. But most people didn't look at that and think, wow, he got a pretty good deal there. He did it to preserve free speech. And now they're coming after him. Now they want to blot him out. Robert Kennedy Jr., I mean, he... Say what you will about his politics. There's not a lot to love there. What he said about health, though, and these food and drug agencies that are making billions at the expense of your health, the health of your children. Well, leave that aside for a moment and consider his family. He has been disowned by his family and friends because of his alliance with Donald Trump. That's a pretty big sacrifice, I'd say. He's been disowned, but he's right. The Democrat Party has gone far to the left. They've been radicalized by the communists in our midst. And he's making a principled stand. He's wealthy too. Does he need to do this? It's becoming clearer by the day that the reign of Obama is about over. He's been exposed. He's been exposed. There are people on the left even mocking Obama, the Democrats, how fake and phony everything was last week. Play the clip. This is the funny man, the Jon Stewart one. I think that was number 11. This is a comedian. And listen to his take on the Democrat convention last week.
They had a guy yelling, "Screw the billionaires," followed immediately by a very happy billionaire. It's all okay if it's our billionaire. I don't like billionaires, but he's all right. Guys making fun of people for going to Yale and a bunch of people who went to Yale. The Democrats had people who prosecuted sexual predators and...
I mean, that's brutal. That's one of their own, pointing out the obvious hypocrisy on display. We played that clip for you last week from Chris Cuomo. He's another lefty. He's saying, okay, they're here at the convention. They're saying they're going to go after the billionaire elites. But look around. Look at all these box seats. $500,000 a pop. Some of them $1 million, $1.5 million. They're being exposed. MAGA is ascendant. I've got an article here. We'll go through it in a second from Miranda Devine at the New York Post. She's saying all the policies that they're rolling out. Of course, they haven't even spelled out the policies in print yet. But what they did portray themselves as last week, it's like they're trying to be a mirror image of MAGA policies. Now, you see, they're tough on crime. Now, they love the American flag. It wasn't that long ago, maybe 2 seconds, when Mara Gay from the New York Times, remember when she intoned, yeah, I was in MAGA country and I saw all of these American flags and I feared for my life. Well, now they're singing a different tune. Now, and Van Jones and all of them, they're applauding it. Look at how they've rewritten the narrative. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. They've recreated a candidate in Kamala Harris. The Democrats themselves didn't like her. It's just a few weeks ago. But now they've refashioned her into something that is popular. Yeah, everyone loves her. This is play the Al Sharpton clip. This is clip one.
I think last week was tremendous in terms of being a flawless convention. We had a great convention. Now, this does not mean we win. She must fight like she's 20 points below, because you don't know what this man. This man's not only fighting for an election, he's fighting for his life. He's facing a sentencing September 18th on criminal charges, 34 felonies, and he's facing three other trials. So he feels if he loses, they're going to run the gamut on him legally, both financially with the New York State Attorney General's case and with criminal cases. So you're facing a presidential race you've never faced in American history, a man that has to win possibly to stay out of jail, at least be able to settle a lot of his legal problems.
Yeah, he could have stepped aside a long time ago and avoided all of this persecution. And yet he didn't. And look again. And that's wishful thinking on the part of Sharpton. The convention couldn't have gone any better. And then Trump's running scared. No, in fact, all the persecution is backfiring. You know what's interesting? I brought this out in class again, just to show how God can use a frightening, terrifying trial, a sore trial. And as I said, turn it into a blessing. Donald Trump was millimeters away from being murdered on July 13th. And guess what happened just a few hours after he narrowly avoided the assassin's bullet? Elon Musk tweeted that he's endorsing Donald Trump. And guess what else happened that night? We now know. Robert F. Kennedy called President Trump, and they had a discussion, and he wished him well. Do you think Obama would do that? Do you think Joe Biden or Hunter would call up President Trump? RFK did. I mean, his uncle was assassinated. That all happened after they tried to assassinate Donald Trump, and now look at where we are. Now you've got Musk. I mean, he's tweeting out things sounding like a staunch conservative, and he's not. And RFK certainly isn't either. But what a coalition. Who could have imagined this just a couple years ago? When, as I say, you couldn't even really wear your support for Trump outside. The times are changing, and they're changing fast. Listen to this. He's another Democrat. He's voted Democrat his whole life. And today he's a commentator. He's making rounds on a podcast here and there. I think he might have his own podcast as well. I'm not sure what show this is, but play clip eight.
I think the modern Democratic Party is an existential threat to the Republic. And although I am a Democrat, I've been a Democrat my whole life, the party that I see in front of me today is literally the inverse of the party I signed up for. This is now the party of war. This is the party of racism. This is the party of censorship. I don't recognize this party. There is no conceivable scenario in which I would vote for Kamala Harris. I just simply will not do it. Am I open to voting for Trump? I am. I'm especially open to it if he is partnered with Bobby Kennedy, because what that tells me is that my values, which are a much closer match for Bobby's, are represented in that administration. And that's really what I want. I want a coalition to redefine American politics, because frankly, we have a long-standing problem with corruption, which has now turned into something else with the modern Democratic Party. But we need to rethink the way we govern ourselves so that corruption is not the dominant force. And a coalition is the way we're going to do that.
RFK, he tweeted out this weekend that there's more prominent Democrats coming forward in the weeks ahead to join this coalition. Well, what a movement. You've got to give Donald Trump some credit. the book about him from many years ago, The Art of the Deal. Here he is making these deals, and a lot of it's on his terms. I'm sure there's some compromise here and there. And look, the coalition is not going to save America. God's going to do that by the hand of Jeroboam, but it's only going to be temporary. And even though America likes to pride itself on the diversity of opinions and making sure we're inclusive and that sort of thing, it's not going to lead to a utopia by any means. But it is fascinating to watch how that the persecution, if you've got an enemy that's trying to murder you, people will rally in support of your cause, your movement. And we've seen it with Donald Trump. They've tried to blot out Twitter, or at least a conservative message, the New York Post, Hunter's laptop, all of those things that happened just a few years ago. We now know, because of the Twitter files, we know that the DOJ was hard at work to blot out the truth. It's like RFK says, it's not like they're, you know, out there blotting out lies. It's the truth that they're afraid of. This man that you just saw, what's his name? Brett Weinstein. He sees the truth. His own party is the corrupt party. His own party is the one that's leading an insurrection. It's the party of war. It's the party of racism. Just when you compare it to, and here again, we just passed the 20-year mark when we were first introduced to the dear leader, Barack Obama. Boy, did he ever, he came in promising hope and change. And then you look at him 20 years on. You look at his speech last week. You look at Michelle Obama's speech. You look at how angry. You look at how much resentment's there, how much hatred there is for Donald Trump. They're losing their grip on power. That's what's happening. And you can be sure that behind closed doors, never mind what Al Sharpton says on the morning meltdown, you get behind those doors and they are in full-scale meltdown mode. Donald Trump timed this perfectly. The honeymoon for Kamala that was going deep into the night last Thursday. What an abrupt awakening. The next day, Friday, and then the Trump rally. Trump said, we didn't play the part where RFK came out from the tunnel, but the crowd just erupted. It was one of the biggest, loudest cheers that Trump's ever witnessed at his own rallies. There's a movement here that you really can't even explain unless you understand the spiritual forces at work behind the scenes. RFK, look, he was on Fox over the weekend. He was comparing his campaign to Ross Perot from back in 1992, the third party candidate, and how that Perot, over the course of 16, 17 months, he had like 36 interviews on television networks all over the place. And RFK's had two, and I think both of them were on Fox News. There's been a coordinated effort to silence him, to blot him out. And Donald Trump has a thing or two to say about being treated like that too, you see? Some strange bedfellows coming together. 5%. If he's bringing in 5% of the vote, in those swing states, I mean, it may be just enough to make it too big of a win to rig. And what if there's other voices coming forward? Look, all you need to know to understand that MAGA is ascendant is look at what they were celebrating last week. I mean, you know about the policy, no tax on tips. Kamala stole it from Trump. She's actually the one that wrote it into law. Her vote did anyway. The fact that they should be taxed. This has been their history. Tax them all the more. But see, heading into an important election, a life and death election, the way they see it, they've got a lie. It's all they have. This is that article from the New York Post, Miranda Devine. She says, a funny thing happened at the Democratic National Convention last week.
Not only has Kamala Harris stolen Donald Trump's no tax on tips policy, but her party shape-shifted into MAGA Republicans in front of our eyes. How do you explain this? Why would they do this? Because they know. They know MAGA is ascendant. So now they've got to bring out the U.S. flags. Sorry, Mara Gay. Hopefully she didn't get terrified at the sight of flags being waved last week. Now it's a good thing. Now I get next. Are they going to all be standing for the national anthem? All the athletes. These people can pivot on a dime if their political life is at stake. You can send Bernie out there. He's a millionaire many times over as well. But he can go out there and really lash out at the billionaires. And then, just like the funny man pointed out, how rich is it for the very next speaker to be a billionaire? A billionaire they love. And then, of course, all the billionaires in the in the box seats. It says here, where once they slandered the American flag as racist and sometimes set it on fire, here were Democrats drowning in a sea of stars and stripes as Harris took the stage Thursday night. That's from the New York Post. It says further on, 1 minute Oprah was stealing Trump's refrain about common sense. The next minute, Pete Buttigieg was introducing himself to the crowd by saying, "You might recognize me from Fox News." Convention goers wore camo hats, and entertainment included a country singer from rural Alabama. It says, between the USA, USA chants, Harris exhortations to God and country, and Tim Stolen Valor Walz's schmaltzy shtick as a Midwestern conservative, you could be forgiven for thinking you were at a Trump rally. It's all they have, you see. Just copy Trump, because what he's doing is successful. I mean, just this alone tells you what you need to know about their level of panic mode. She says, that's exactly what Harris's gimlet-eyed brain trust of former Obamaites wants you to think. By transforming Comrade Kamala into an ideological moderate, a tough-on-crime prosecutor, and national security hawk, they are making a naked bid for swing voters, independents, and the 500,000 Republicans who voted for anyone but Trump in the GOP primaries on Super Tuesday. We've got to deceive them. If we can deceive them and stay in power, then we can continue with the fundamental transformation. We can continue to destroy the country, to destroy the United States. That's their aim. She says the shamelessness is breathtaking. As the Biden administration's point person for illegal migration since March 2021, so-called border czar Harris is responsible for the unfettered invasion of more than 10 million illegal aliens who have crossed the southern border. I skipped over this little bit. It says here, in her campaign video, Harris even showcased Trump's border wall that she had previously maligned and blocked. Fixing the border is tough, says the narrator. So is Kamala Harris. She's going to fix the border crisis. She's going to build that wall. She's tough on crime. No, she isn't. She's none of those things. But they're lying. They're trying to deceive. It says, after decades in law enforcement, I know the importance of safety and security, especially at the border. That's what she said Thursday night with a straight face. I'm tough. I'm tough on border security and crime. What is this? Is this a Republican convention or Democrat? It's a Democrat convention. It says here, she's the opposite of a law and order candidate, and the easiest way to understand her new persona is to realize that every position that came out of her mouth Thursday is the opposite of the truth. Her speech was a cynical grab bag of poll-tested keywords designed to allay well-founded fears of conservatives that she is a far-left radical in sheep's clothing. And the media, for the most part, they're letting them get away with this. But still, there's some. I mean, you heard the funny man there. That was devastating. That was brutal. That was a brutal takedown of his own party. You heard the Weinstein guy earlier. Yeah, there's no way I could vote for Kamala. More and more people, you see, they're waking up to the fact that America's under attack. I mean, that's this book. It's like this book. What the main message of this book has been reinforced and promoted with each passing day. You see the attack, but you also now see God intervening to save America. He's not going to let America go down with this attack from within. I mean, we know from the U.S. and Britain in prophecy that every great empire, we know from history, every great empire has collapsed sooner or later. And we know from the U.S. and Britain in prophecy, I mean, the great tribulation is coming. And God is going to correct our peoples, our nations. If you don't have that book, make sure you call our operators today and request the United States and Britain in prophecy. Put it together with America Under Attack. Study both of them together. The number 1-866-930-3024. Play this clip from Jake Tapper. This is from yesterday, I believe, clip 6.
The Democrats made a clear effort at the DNC to frame Vice President Kamala Harris as the candidate of change. Take a listen.
Our nation with this election has a precious, fleeting opportunity, a chance to chart a new way forward.
So I don't know about you. I'm ready to turn the page on these guys. We're not going back.
America's ready for a new chapter. America's ready for a better story.
A new chapter? I mean, she's the incumbent vice president. Democrats have controlled the White House for 12 of the last 16 years. How can Democrats talk about a new chapter turning the page? You guys are the ones writing the book.
That's Jake Tapper. He's a far left commentator. But even he's calling them out. How can you talk about this being a new chapter? You've written the book. This is a fundamental transformation that's been going on for 16 years. Introduced to the dear leader 20 years ago. He's in power 4 years later. And he vows to fundamentally transform the United States. And he's nearly pulled it off. But 2 Kings 14, God intervening to save America, to save Israel by the hand of Jeroboam. We've referred to Amos 7, verse 13 a lot as well, the kingdom's court, and how that court has intervened already in the lawfare aimed at Donald Trump. I mean, Friday afternoon, this was after the show was over, it was announced, or Jack Smith said, yeah, we're not going to press for the trial, that D.C. trial, or have the hearing regarding the so-called insurrection. He's got nothing, because Trump now has some immunity, thanks to the Supremes. This is another article from Politico. It says, President Joe Biden executed one of the most sweeping progressive agendas on labor, climate change, and corporate greed in recent decades, only to see the Supreme Court lay it so bare that a Kamala Harris victory may not protect large chunks of it. And so here comes the Supreme Court dialing back some of the authoritarian decisions and orders given by Joe Obama. It says a suite of Supreme Court rulings this summer freed up federal judges to freeze many regulations the president once campaigned on or enacted to get around a deeply divided Congress in Texas. Well, it gives some examples. Biden appointees have spent years writing rules to crack down on credit card late fees, require airlines to fork over cash refunds, and make millions more people eligible for overtime pay while reining in polluting industries. But the future of those policies, along with the president's unfinished business on student debt relief and artificial intelligence, are far less secure than they were just 2 months ago. It's pretty amazing to watch this. The Supreme Court decisions that can actually undo many of the dear leaders' actions during this fundamental transformation. You can see why they're angry. They talk about joy. They talk about good vibes, as I covered with you on Friday. But they're angry. They're trying to kill the opposition. They're trying to silence the truth. RFK is exactly right about that. They're trying to silence him. They tried to bankrupt him with lawfare. None of the networks would interview him except for Fox News a couple of times. Why? Why? I mean, there were some polls in the Democrat primary period. There were some polls that had RFK at 19, 20%. He could have given the fake president a run for his money. But the Democrat Party, you know, the one that loves democracy, they wouldn't let it happen. They changed the rules. And Trump has exposed them for that. RFK exposed them. What an unlikely union. Donald Trump, RFK now, Elon Musk. People are coming out of the woodwork saying, you know what? I think I might, especially now that he's got RFK, I may just have to vote Trump. I've been a lifelong Democrat. Well, and all this plays out, assuming it happens as a result of the election, there's other things that could happen before and after the election. We'll wait and see. But when it does play out and Donald Trump finds his way back into the Oval Office, just remember what we were saying in November of 2020 after they successfully stole the election. We said Donald Trump was coming back, and it sure didn't look like that was possible back then. It sure didn't. It didn't look like that was possible 2 years ago. It didn't look like it was possible a year ago. Then he just keeps turning out. You go through the Republican primaries and they begin to fall by the wayside. DeSantis and Nikki Haley, all the rest of them. And there were so many powerful Republican voices, billionaires in some cases, that said it can't be Trump. He's a loser. He's always losing. And look at where we are today. Look at what happens Friday evening. An endorsement coming from one that you would never, ever dream of endorsing, Donald Trump. They're that far apart ideologically, but they're both targets of the radical left, and the radical left is vicious. The hearts of those people, filled with murderous intent, hatred, lies. And so that's bringing an unusual coalition together. Just coming back to RFK, I thought it was, and again, I know there's different takes on this. Sundance, I believe, is a little skeptical of embracing RFK, thinking that he's deep state, he's a swamp creature. And I suppose we'll find out soon enough. But with respect to the FDA, Big Pharma, the vaccine, just how deadly and unhealthy that was and is, and just the corruption and all of the conflicts of interest in the swamp when it comes to food and health. You know, these big agencies that are supposedly looking out for your welfare, your well-being. This was, I think, RFK, either on Fox News or maybe during his speech on Friday night, clip 3.
I was welcome to listen to anything from the Democrats that they were going to do something about the war, about the Ukraine war, about the censorship, about the child health crisis, this epidemic of chronic disease that has now disabled about 60% of our kids. And, you know, when my uncle was President Shannon, only 6% of Americans had chronic disease. Today, over 60% do. And, you know, it's hard to find a kid today that's not been damaged by it. And it's coming from our food supply, from pollution in our environment, from toxics in our environment. and mainly from corruption in our government that allows that to happen.
Corruption in our government. You know, my wife, she talks about this attack on our nations through food and drugs and vaccines. All of these genetically modified seeds and foods, they really became a thing back in the 1980s. Right around the time of Herbert Armstrong's death. And RFK, he knows all about this history. And he says, look, during JFK's presidency in the 60s, 6% of Americans with disease, now 60%. There was a documentary. We've showed it to some of our students here at the college. JFK was really big on health and fitness, keeping the nation strong physically. Physically fit. But look at the spread of chronic disease. And you know what's also spread since that time, since the 60s, since the 1980s? GMOs, the food and production, everything that's just mass produced, processed food. We're seeing, as he's noted, we're seeing diseases that we never had almost 100 years ago. How is this happening? And if the FDA and if Big Pharma, if everyone's interest is to keep you in good health, why are so many people sick? Why are so many people diseased? Well, we've certainly got, I mean, in an individual sense, we've all got to humble ourselves and admit the personal role that we have in not making the best choices that we should with respect to what we consume, what we put into our bodies. We are what we eat, the saying goes. But here comes RFK. He's got some, you know, and again, he doesn't have to do this. Going back to the cold open, the lady that said, look, you can tell which ones are in it for sincere intentions. Just look at the hits they're taking. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people in Big Pharma, in the FDA, in NIH, that probably would love to see RFK dead. I noticed just this morning, he lost his Secret Service detail. He didn't have it initially because, well, the Democrats hated him. And they wanted to blot him out. They want to erase him from the ballot. They want to destroy him in court. Then they get a lot of flack for not giving him Secret Service, particularly around the assassination attempt of President Trump. And then he comes out and he endorses Donald Trump, and just like that, he loses Secret Service protection. That's the kind of viciousness and hatred that they're going up against. That's what's bringing Trump and Musk and RFK together as an unlikely coalition. Chronic disease. Listen to him as he continues to talk about just how much the big companies, drug, food, or otherwise, the big companies, and how that they benefit financially from sick children. It actually serves their bottom line if your child is sick. Clip 4.
75% of FDA's budget is coming from pharmaceutical companies. That is a perverse incentive. In NIH, scientists and officials in NIH who work on drug development, who incubate drugs for the pharmaceutical company, get to collect lifetime royalties from those products. These are regulators. They're supposed to be looking for problems in those products. We have these agencies that have become sock puppets for the industries they're supposed to regulate. So they're not really interested in public health. Everybody, the most profitable thing today in America is a sick child. Everybody's making money. The hospitals are making money. The pharmaceutical companies are making money. Even the insurance companies make money. And we need to end those perverse incentives. We need to get the corruption out of FDA, out of NIH, out of CDC. And make them function as they're supposed to function, which is to protect public health and particularly children's health.
They make a killing off of sick people. And they're all intertwined. It reminds me of that commercial we played a while back, brought to you by Pfizer. So there were no dissenting voices when they were rolling out the vaccines. They were silenced. You see how it works? They're not afraid of lies. They're afraid of the truth. So the few doctors that said, hey, hang on a second, this isn't even a vaccine. This is putting poison into your body. And it was making Pfizer millions and millions of dollars. And then it was making all the networks on which Pfizer ads run nonstop. It was making those big networks millions and millions of dollars. Are they really concerned about your health? Just pump out the highly processed foods. Add in whatever addictive ingredient you can to keep people coming back for more. And then, just because you love them, create a drug that will just keep them alive. Sick probably for the rest of their lives, but will keep them alive. And then, I mean, we've got the processed food, mass produced. We've got all the drugs to go with. And we make a killing. No pun intended. It's just one more way that this nation, and it really, in this case, it really is more unique to America than some of the other nations of Israel in Northwestern Europe, the UK, and so on. Just the destruction. It's another way that we're under attack. Look at the decline in health, energy, vitality. Look at children today compared to, well, JFK's time. Look at young people in high school, college. You just go right down the line. Sometimes you'll see a snapshot, you know, on a social media site with people today, you know, walking the streets of New York and people walking the streets of New York in the 1930s. What a difference. What a difference. Or even just the 1950s, the 1960s. It was an impactful documentary. I forget the name of it, but we watched it when we were at Edstone. And we've tried to, actually, the video about, you know, JFK saying we need to stay in shape as a people. Now, JFK, in so many ways, was a vile person. He got caught up in a lot of filth, a lot of filthy behavior, morally. But on that point, and on this point, RFK, he's right. And it's astounding that Donald Trump is actually listening to him on this. I don't think it's going to make much of a dent because we're just so far gone with respect to physical health. But still, I mean, the deep state in all of its various levels, it's being exposed on every level. That's pretty remarkable to see this playing out. There was a interview that Tucker had with this brother-sister team that's actually advising RFK. We're going to go through that. And it was from a few weeks ago, but we're going to go through that and try to get some clips for you for a later program. We just kind of ran out of time this morning, but it's a fascinating study when you just see how, what did he call it? A perverse marriage where you've got the agencies that are benefiting financially to the tune of billions and billions. They're responsible for the oversight for this agency over there that determines whether or not we're going to have healthier food or just keep putting in the additives, the drugs, the addictive ingredients. I don't know enough about the subject myself to just tear it apart like these two did with Tucker. I think the interview went on for like 2 hours. But these are people that are in the ear of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And now Trump, who's not exactly known as a health nut, he's like, yeah. Yeah, we want healthy children. We want to be a healthy people. Isaiah 5 and verse 20, we've gone through that before. Just to finish with this point about, you know, our personal involvement in this. I mean, we've all got our sins and weaknesses that we need to confess and then go to work with God's help to change. It's hard to do in this society where junk and filth is, you know, in the physical and the spiritual sense. We're just surrounded by it. It's everywhere that you look. Think about Isaiah 1. We've read through this before. But Isaiah 1 talks about the sickness. I mean, just think about it in terms of the physical health of the Israelite nations. When you just compare it to 30, 40, 50 years ago, Isaiah 1 and verse 5 says, "Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." And it says further that the country's desolate. I mean, we're being overrun by strangers. Ultimately, I mean, we're going to be invaded. But this all is ahead of that. I mean, and you can see the sickness even in terms of the communist attack from within. But also just look at the health, the actual physical health that we're seeing as well. A couple more stories I can get to, but maybe we can finish with a few emails since I mentioned we haven't done that in quite a while. This one says, "Excellent TD. I'm looking forward to God blowing off the lid and exposing even more of these evil people and their ways." Well, that ties right in with what we were just discussing. The deep state. It's deep, and it's being exposed on every level. It says here, "I was deeply saddened and sickened to be told about the mobile abortion stations. Just appalling. I can only imagine what God and Christ are feeling right now. I'm sure there is much anger." Sickness all around. That's a reference to those mobile stations for vasectomies and abortions, just outside the United Center. Inside was the party of joy, mirroring the MAGA policies as best they could, faking their way through a four-day convention, and then carefully avoiding the media after that, and then before that too, trying to deceive. Another one writes, "Thanks for keeping us up to date on all the crazy twists and turns. Someone ought to let Kamala Harris know joy is not a policy." Joy is not a policy. Another one here says, "The world should listen to you every day, even though sometimes it's hard to hear. It is so sad to see the Israelite nations being overrun by the enemy and even welcomed by the leaders. I'm glad to know that God has a plan and all of this is temporary. Can't wait to see Donald Trump back in the White House, even if it is temporary." That comes from a regular viewer. Another one here says, "As a prospective member of God's true church, I'm honored to be able to do what I can to help get the gospel message through my tithes and keeping you all in my prayers that God would continue to bless in the work you are doing. I would feel pretty helpless if I didn't have your example of faith and courage." Another one here says, "A big thank you for the Trumpet Daily. Your style and honest upfront reporting in with the truth of the Holy Word of God is very much appreciated." It says, "We need you and a Donald Trump here in Australia." So there you go. Well, we do reach Australia. We do have quite a few listeners that email the show from time to time from down under. And we've got several Australian students here on campus as well. Added another handful just this year with the new freshman class. Another one here says, "Bravo, love the Star Wars parody. Hilarious. Should go mega viral. Keep the creative juices flowing and the laughter going. Great job." If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.